Let's bow our heads and start with a prayer. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus, St. Peter, the first Pope, tells us to conduct ourselves in holiness and devotion. We pray for the light of the Holy Spirit, that we may have a greater understanding of eternal truths and greater receptivity so we may live it in our lives. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, what we'll speak about today is preparing the way for the Lord, not just for yourself, but for your family, your progeny, and your family tree. Talking about going from darkness into light, and then healing the family tree. Pope Benedict XVI, April 24th, 2005, had his inaugural Mass for his pontificate, where he was received what's called the conferral of the Fisherman's Ring, the Ring of St. Peter. And he stated on that occasion, "We are living in alienation and salt in the salt waters of suffering and death, in a sea of darkness without light." You know, like what St. John says in his first chapter, Christ is the light that comes into this world of darkness. But he said the gospel, and that's truth, the message of Christ, pulls us out of the waters of death and brings us into the splendor of God's light, into true light. And only where God is seen does life truly begin. So he's painting this image of going from darkness into light. It's only when we meet the living God in Christ do we know what life is. We are not some casual, this is awesome, we are not some casual, meaningless product of evolution. Each of us sitting here, each of us is the result of a thought of God. Each of us is willed, each of us is loved, each of us is necessary. And there is nothing more beautiful than to be surprised by the gospel, the encounter with Christ. There is nothing more beautiful than to know him, to speak to others of our friendship with him. This time of Advent is a time we're called to rededicate our lives to Christ, to grow in that friendship. Go from the darkness into the light. We'll go from the shadows into the light. To live what our Lord said, "I am the light of the world," to live in his light. We've had that experience, all of us. Perhaps you're indoors in the middle of the summer, and then you walk out, it's a bright sunshine day. Your eyes can't see clearly everything initially. Or perhaps you're at a movie theater in the afternoon, Saturday afternoon. You get out at 4 o'clock, and your eyes, it takes a little while to adjust. The same thing in our life of faith. You know, going from darkness and some people into the shadows, then into the life of Christ. Many souls, when they pass through this world, they're not spiritually strong enough that they can gaze right on the face of Christ, the face of God and his brightness and brilliancy at once, and they need to be purified. So this time of Lent, this Advent, Lent too, with the purple time of penance, but in Advent, we're called to purify ourselves of all the darkness and the remnants of that. So Isaiah today and Mark says, prepare the way. Prepare the way for the Lord to come into your heart anew. And it's not, the message is not just for us individually, but for our family. What we do has an effect on our family, those people in our lives, and on our progeny, people who aren't even haven't even come into existence yet. So what hinders us from coming fullness into the life of Christ, into his life, is sin, right? Now, all of us know that we're conceived in the original sin. That's part of our faith, Romans chapter 5. So the sin of Adam and Eve has left its effect on all the progeny, all of us, all of humanity. When we were baptized, the original sin's wiped away, but the effects are still there. We still suffer from pride and covetous anger, envy, etc. We still suffer sicknesses, and there's still death. This is the result of that original sin. Now, does God hold us, you and I, responsible for the original sin? No, but we suffer the effects of it. But now, in addition to the original sin, all of us have something called personal sin, whether it's venial or mortal. We are culpable then for our personal sins. But what will happen, it will have its effect on others and our family tree. Now, St. Paul, he says this in Ephesians chapter 3. He goes, that he, that God may grant you to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So there's this image in the scripture of being filled with Christ, or coming greater into living a life of Christ. Now, St. Paul, back to Romans I mentioned, he said, "Wherefore, as one by one man sin entered the world, and by sin death, so death has passed on to all men." So we see the effects. Now, when we're baptized, that original sin is wiped away, but the effects, as I stated, are still there. How do we help to erode those effects of the original sin, our own personal sins? Two big sacraments, communion and confession. Communion and confession. And those are sacraments that we don't just receive once in life, like confirmation or baptism or holy orders. It's the sacraments that we can receive frequently. And there's great healing properties and graces that come from these sacraments. And there's also what's called generational healing prayer. So essentially, is you're making the intention in your heart when you're coming to communion, when you're praying, ask the Lord to heal not just you, physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, but also those in your family tree, past, those who are in purgatory, and those who are coming after you. Now, let me give you some examples of how sin, how one person's sin affects others, okay? Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 10. This is where God gives his third commandment to Moses. "I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children, on the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing loving kindness to the thousandth generation, to those who love me and keep my commandments." So it's the effects. A couple other examples. Lamentations chapter 5, verse 7. "Remember, O Lord, what has befallen us. Our fathers who sinned are no more, but we bear their guilt." Another example, Exodus chapter 34, verses 5 and 9. And the Lord speaks with Moses. The Lord, compassionate, gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to a thousand generations, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet, he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation. Again, we're seeing the effects of sin. Now, we have this, here's another example, Numbers chapter 14, verse 33. So the setting is the chosen people, they were in Egypt for 400 years in slavery. Now they're leaving Egypt, going to the promised land. But they even sinned when they came out at the beginning, just trusting God. So what it says there in Numbers 14, verse 33, "Here, where your children must wander for 40 years in suffering for the parents' faithlessness, till the last of you dies in the desert." Now we have an example then in the New Testament, St. John's Gospel, chapter 9, verse 2, about the man born blind. Now the apostles, they're familiar with these Old Testament passages that I just related there, and there's many more, though it's just a little snippet. So they see this man is born blind. And it says, quote, "As he passed by, he saw a man born blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, 'Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?'" They realize that sin does affect other generations. And Jesus answered, "Well, in this case, neither he nor his parents sinned. This so that the works of God may be made visible through him." Okay? So you balance the scales a little bit. Just because you have different tendencies may not necessarily be from your family tree, but it may be. And so we want to pray for that, for healing. And then this is on a real positive side. So if you ever have a family, hopefully all the families have this, either have like a a grandmother, a grandfather, a great-grandmother, a great-grandfather has a reputation or had a reputation that they were a prayer warrior. They went to daily mass. They prayed all the time. They did all the novenas that have ever come into existence and just praying all the time. If you have something like that in your family tree, thank God. There's tremendous blessings that come from that. Isaiah chapter 44, verse 3. "I, God, will pour out my spirit on your offspring and my blessing on your descendants." So if you have a godly person that's in your family tree, that has wonderful, powerful healing effects on the tree. Now, Father John Hamm, a Claretian priest, is in his 80s, a scripture scholar. He put together a book called Healing of the Family Tree. And I'll just give you a couple of examples here. He quotes Isaiah chapter 14. As you know, Isaiah is very big during this time of Advent. He says, quoting, "For the sins of their forefathers, I will cut off the offspring and descendants." He goes, "Sometimes specific ailments are assigned to specific sins." And this is interesting. For example, The offspring of adulterers are often infertile and die young. That's from Wisdom chapter 3, verse 16. And the descendants of those who practice bribery are often defective eyesight. Job chapter 17, verse 5, generally speaking. Troublemakers cause family alienation among their descendants. Job chapter 4, verse 8 to 11. And then Genesis chapter 20, verse 7, the offspring of adulterers also too then will suffer the effects of the sin. And then he goes on, just a couple examples I wrote down here. He said, he mentions like those of Irish descent, there's something a predisposition to alcoholism. Those of African descent are predisposed to sickle cell anemia. Some have generational predispositions to cancer, high blood pressure, heart disease, diabetes, headaches, skin problems, arthritis, things like that. In a family line, there may be a pattern of unusual or violent deaths, occult activity, habitual patterns of sin that continue on. And this has happened to me a number of times with priests. People have come to me, Father, this is the third generation, the fourth generation, that the first child born for the next generation was illegitimate, that was born outside of wedlock. Well, what happens in a family tree, these different sins and the effects are passed on until someone stands in Christ in a powerful way and invites Christ in life, says, no, it stops here with me. This is not going on any further. A person that prays repentance, asks the Lord for forgiveness for the sins of the family tree, lives a life in a state of grace. So there's great healing that comes about. There's a gentleman that I met a couple months ago, nowhere around this area, his early 30s. He only has one child, he's 8 right now. And he made a comment to me. He's going through different difficulties and problems and effects that came really from his parents. But he said this, and it was really insightful. He said, Father, I don't want this to go on for the next generation, to my grandchildren. I go, wow. You know, his child's only 8 right now, but he knows that. He knows from the scripture. I was like, wow, he's got great wisdom there. Now, in a few moments, a couple minutes, we're going to receive this awesome grace, the author of grace, Jesus Christ in Holy Communion. When you receive him, you're in a state of grace. There's great power there with a prayer. Ask the Lord to heal your family tree. Ask the Lord, there's the natural thing, how we act that affects our children, but there's also something spiritual that may not be seen by the children, but it will affect them. Maybe there's anger issues that come in a family. Maybe there's depression issues. Maybe there's anxiety issues. Maybe there's fear issues. But those are passed on. So at communion, I said, Dear Jesus, please heal my family tree. Please heal it of any sins that I may have passed on. Please heal. I pray for all my children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren who aren't even born yet, that your healing graces would be there. So what I want to do as a priest, as your pastor, is pray this prayer for the healing of the family tree. And so I'm making an intention here that I'd like you to make that intention of Holy Communion. So I ask you to bow your heads. We're going to pray this prayer. It goes just for a few minutes. Because we're asking the light of Christ to come greater, more brilliantly into our life so it can be passed on to future generations. Prayer for the healing of the family tree by Father John Hinge. Heavenly Father, I come before you now as your child, in great need of your help. I have physical health needs, emotional needs, spiritual needs, and interpersonal needs. Many of my problems have been caused by my own failures, neglect, and sinfulness, for which I humbly beg your forgiveness, Lord. I also ask you to forgive the sins of my ancestors, whose failures have left their effects on me in the form of unwanted tendencies, behavior patterns, defects, body, mind, and spirit. Heal me, Lord, of all these disorders. With your help, I sincerely forgive everyone, especially living or dead members of my family tree who have directly offended me or my loved ones in any way, or those whose sins have resulted in our present sufferings and disorders. In the name of your divine Son, Jesus, and in the power of the Holy Spirit, I ask you, Father, to deliver me and my entire family tree from the influence of the evil one. Free all living and dead members of my family tree. including those in adoptive relationships and those in extended family relationships, from every contaminating form of bondage. By your loving concern for us, Heavenly Father, by the shed blood of your precious Son, Jesus, I beg you to extend your blessing to me and all my living and deceased relatives. Heal every negative effect transmitted through all past generations, and prevent such negative effects in future generations of my family tree. I symbolically place the cross of Jesus over the head of each person in my family tree and between each generation. I ask you to let the cleansing blood of Jesus and Holy Communion today purify the bloodlines of my family lineage. Set your protective angels to encamp around us, and permit St. Raphael, the Archangel, the patron of healing, to administer your divine healing power to all of us, even in areas of genetic disability. Give special power to our family members' guardian angels to heal, protect, guide, and encourage each of us in all of our needs. And let your healing power be released at this very moment, especially at communion. Let it continue as long as your sovereignty permits. In our family tree, Lord, we pray we place all bondage with a holy bonding and family love. Let there be an ever deeper bonding with you, Father, by the Holy Spirit, to your Son, Jesus. And let the family of the Holy Trinity pervade our family with its tender, warm, loving presence, so that all our family may recognize and manifest that love in all of our relationships. All of our unknown needs we include with this petition that we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.